Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news, talk, and sports station is Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Steve Kathan. President Biden plans to check on the fire destruction in Maui next Monday. The White House says he'll meet with survivors and search teams. The death toll stands at 106 and is expected to go higher. CBS's Lilia Luciano has been talking to people who lost their homes and wonder what's next.
Right in the front here was the dining room.
Sweetheart Maury lost her home in the wildfire that ravaged Kula.
We came back the next day and everything was still on fire.
Her family's survival is the only solace.
Everybody's struggling here, as it is living day by day, but they still give.
Maury says many have wanted to buy off her property, but she says even if they need to pitch a tent, it's not for sale. It's for the next generations.
Planning to rebuild.
You will stay.
Yeah, we will stay. This is my land.
CBS's Nicole Killian reports talks are underway about a possible Donald Trump court appearance next week in Georgia. He and 18 others were indicted on charges of trying to overturn the state's vote in 2020. At a Republican event this morning in Indianapolis, former Vice President Pence.
Despite what the former president and his allies have said for now more than 2.5 years, the Georgia election was not stolen, and I had no right to overturn the election on January 6th.
But Pence also accused the Justice Department of being politicized. Now to Ukraine. CBS's Deborah Pata reports Russian drone attacks have hit Ukrainian grain facilities, and landmines appear to be having a major effect in the effort by Ukraine to try to turn the tide.
Ukraine's counteroffensive has slowed to a deadly crawl. Soldiers have to painstakingly make their way through densely mined territory, twice the size of Indiana, in order to break through Russian defenses. Moscow launched a large-scale air attack yesterday in western Lviv, which has largely been spared the worst of the war.
Co-host Australia is out of the Women's World Cup, losing in the semifinals to England.
I'm Vicky Barker in London. Happy doesn't begin to describe the mood of these fans watching England's 3-1 victory from here in the UK.
Everyone was cheering. We're so proud of them.
Everyone said England would be able to beat Australia, and we proved everyone wrong.
The Lionesses have become the first English soccer team since 1966 to reach a World Cup final.
That was when the English men won the World Cup on home soil. Checking Wall Street's right now, it's a mixed bag. The Dow is up 34 points. The NASDAQ is down about 70, and the S&P is down 3 points. This is CBS News.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state, and in your own backyard. This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 12:03. Good afternoon. I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin Elections Commission meets tonight to consider whether embattled Administrator Megan Wolf should have to face a Senate hearing to be reconfirmed. Pete Schwabe reports.
The commission this summer voted to renominate Wolf to a new term. Republicans voted for Wolf's reappointment. The three Democrats abstained. The Democrats maintain the deadlock means Wolf keeps the job indefinitely. But the Republican-controlled state Senate passed a resolution to make Wolf subject to the confirmation process. Republicans have made Wolf the face of what they consider problems with Wisconsin's election system, although Wolf never made any of those decisions. Pete Schwabe, Civic Media News.
Seven Red Cross volunteers in Wisconsin are helping with wildfire relief efforts in Hawaii. They're helping evacuees with food, shelter, and counseling. Relief workers are deploying for 3 weeks at a time instead of the usual two in order to save money. Officials say it's the deadliest natural disaster Hawaii has ever had. Meanwhile, President Biden made his first public comments about the federal response to the Hawaii wildfire while in Milwaukee yesterday.
Almost 500 federal personnel have been deployed to Maui to help communities and survivors get back on their feet. FEMA search and rescue teams are sifting through the ashes in that five-mile area.
Biden says he and First Lady Jill Biden will visit Hawaii as soon as it will no longer disrupt relief efforts. A pioneer for equality for women and Native Americans in Wisconsin and across the country has died. Brittany Merlot has more.
Ada Deer was the first woman to lead the U.S. Bureau of Indian Affairs. She was the first woman to be chair of the Menominee Nation. And she was the first Native American woman to run for Congress in Wisconsin. Deer was instrumental in restoring federal recognition for her tribe and also fought for the sovereignty of all indigenous nations. Deer died last night. She was 88 years old. I'm Brittany Merlot, Civic Media News.
Foxconn is selling its buildings in Green Bay and Eau Claire. The company bought them in 2018. The plan was to turn them into innovation centers with hundreds of people working there. Those plans never became a reality. Foxconn says the company is pulling back from innovation centers and focusing on its operations in Mount Pleasant. The Wisconsin Office of School Safety will keep going for another year, but the new influx of cash is only temporary. State Attorney General Josh Call says the office will get one-time funding through federal pandemic relief grants. The office has served as a resource for school violence prevention and response since it was created in 2018. It may be best known for the Speak Up, Speak Out hotline. Parts of Wisconsin are forecast to see highs in the 90s again next week. Animal rights advocates say pet owners need to take steps if climate change keeps getting worse. Mike Moan reports.
Kristen Schrank of the Wisconsin-based group Alliance for Animals says in general, ripple effects from a warming planet pose threats in a variety of ways.
We're experiencing extreme heat and cold, wildfires, smoke, and poor air quality. So this is not only impacting, you know, humans on the planet and their companion animals, but it's also impacting wildlife.
For summer heat, Schrank says pet owners should always keep fresh and clean water accessible, along with a shady spot. For those with a yard, she says enhancing landscaping, such as adding trees or shrubs, is helpful. Cooling mats for dogs are another option. I'm Mike Moen.
There's a new website to help you track drought conditions in Wisconsin. The Department of Natural Resources says the tool gives people more information. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell.
For Oshkosh Air Support News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what you need.
For WFHR, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know in central Wisconsin. There's fire training taking place in Stevens Point today. The Stevens Point, Village of Plover, and Town of Hull Joint Fire Department training is happening at 3383 Hoover Road this afternoon and evening. Expect to see a large number of fire vehicles and simulated smoke. Please try to avoid the area around the property. There is no danger to the public. The two juveniles who robbed the R store in Rudolph Monday night were two boys aged 13 and 14. They brandished a BB gun and demanded cash and vaping supplies. Within about 3 hours of the report, Wood County deputies were able to take the boys into custody. No one was harmed during the incident, and because of their age, no further information will be released. Have you wondered what's been going on with Foxconn? Pete Schwabe has the story.
Foxconn is selling the Watermark building in downtown Green Bay. In 2018, the Taiwanese company bought the property and announced they were creating an innovation center that would bring up to 200 jobs, but officials say they never used the building. The company is also putting its Eau Claire offices up for sale as well. Foxconn says they want to focus on their technology park in Mount Pleasant. If you're in the market, you can purchase the Watermark building at 115 Pine Street downtown for a cool $9.75 million.
Are you having issues with your internet? Want to voice your concerns? Port Edwards United Methodist Church is hosting an open forum town hall meeting called Digital Equity tomorrow, August 17th. Residents of Southwood County and North Adams County are invited to attend and share their concerns and issues they are experiencing with internet access. It will help the state of Wisconsin identify areas of inadequate internet. The event is tomorrow at 2:30 p.m. at Port Edwards United Methodist Church. Snacks and childcare will be provided. Every participant will receive a $25 gift card, courtesy of the Wisconsin Council of Churches. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News on WFHR, your locally grown radio station.
And now, your Wisconsin weather from Civic Media.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. Strong south winds whipping today are pulling in the heat and rocking the lakes. A beach hazard statement for Lake Michigan shores is in effect through tonight for waves climbing to 6 feet high from 40 mile per hour open water gusts. Now, as this warm front sweeps in, it'll nudge most of us into the low to mid 80s. Problem is,
A cold front trails close behind it, and as it smacks into that heat, it will fire up thunderstorms tonight. By 7 p.m., a line of stronger storms will surge in from Minnesota and rip into northwest Wisconsin, packing the potential for damaging wind gusts and large hail. The Storm Prediction Center has issued a slight risk for severe weather for all of northwest Wisconsin, from as far south as Buffalo County and east to Taylor, Price, and Vilas counties. Thunderstorms will ease up in strength as they approach the Fox Valley overnight. Have a wonderful Wednesday and stay weather savvy, Wisconsin. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot, Civic Media News.
The Brewers lose to the Dodgers. Good afternoon, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers dropped one to the Dodgers last night, 6-2 in Los Angeles. The crew had one highlight when Carlos Santana hit the longest home run of the season for Milwaukee, 442 feet. Jeff Levering with the call on Bally Sports Wisconsin.
Santana hammers one to deep left. Not even a step from Kike Hernandez. My, oh my, was that ball crushed into the pavilion. Wow.
That may have made it into the parking lot.
For a while there, it looked like a playoff game. The Brewers and Dodgers tied it 1-1 after five innings, but in the bottom of the sixth, the crew gave up five runs between starter Adrian Hauser, reliever Hobie Milner, and a costly error by third baseman Andrew Monasterios, overthrowing first base manager Craig Counsell.
You know, definitely when you look back on it, we make the play and for the second out, and it's probably a different inning. And then, you know, even after that, it's, you know, four ground balls go through, and that's, well, the chances of that seem pretty slim, but it happened. And, they hit four ground balls out of the reach of our guys, unfortunately. And, it ended up costing us. You know, it's kind of one of those games, like, what if? But in the end, they made us pay for it.
The Dodgers have now won 9 in a row, 12 of their last 13. They'll send Clayton Kershaw to the mound against Wade Miley. Milwaukee remains atop of their division by 4 games. College football, former Wisconsin Badgers running back Harlan Carl has died. He played alongside the legendary Alan Ameche and helped Wisconsin to their first Rose Bowl in 1953. Harlan Carl was 91. NFL, the Packers are looking for players to step up at tight end after losing Tyler Davis for the season with a torn ACL. This opens the door for 6'8" Austin Allen, picked up from the Giants, and was asked about the opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, it's football. It's a contact sport. It's and injury rate's 100% in this game. It's going to happen. The magnitude that it happened to Tyler kind of sucks. It's unfortunate, but I mean, it's another opportunity for me to get more reps, another opportunity for me to show these coaches what I can do.
We're in Green Bay covering the Packers' joint practices with the Patriots, who arrived here last night. Head coach Bill Belichick was asked how many preseason games were there when he first got into the NFL.
Six. Yeah, there was no offseason. There was no OTAs. There was no, yeah. Season started when training camp started. When I came into the league, we scrimmaged. We had three full scrimmages that year. 7-on-7, 9-on-7, 1-on-1s, and then a full team scrimmage.
Matt LaFleur on making the arrangements with the Patriots and Bill Belichick.
He's been great. You know, had a couple back and forths in terms of the schedule and still finalizing all the details. But for the most part, it's been pretty smooth and arguably the best to ever do it. So I thought it would be in our best interest to try to, learn a few things from him.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now for your crew to tease at 844-967-2789.
I thought they were Crudy Takes.
Crudy's Takes. See, man, it all comes back around to Sports Talk Live.
Something like that.
My wife wants some vegetables for crudité.
You know what I mean?
Listen Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
It's so hot. Wait. Now it's going to rain? It is summer in Wisconsin.
As much as we love it, we love to hate it too. Find a forecast you can count on along with the in-depth details you need, only from the Civic Media Weather Team.
These extended conditions have led us into a flash drought. Sitting in these above average temperatures with minimal rain has swiftly altered the local climate.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the Paul
poem that we all know, the famous Ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Oshkosh Air Support, AM 1100 and 98.3 FM WISS programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Welcome one, welcome all. Thanks for joining us today. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio where you are the star, you are the talent, and you will drive the talking points of the day. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. I'm William Walter, Policy Research Director and Lead Training Organizer with our Wisconsin Revolution, joined by Luke and Aaron. Gentlemen, how are we doing on this Wednesday afternoon?
Doing well, Will. Glad to be with you on your third, whatever, you're not favorite
Wednesday. It's the realest Wednesday in the game. I'll admit that.
Yeah. Yeah. How are you, Aaron?
Third favorite.
Feeling good on a Wednesday.
That's how I'm doing.
All right. Look at that. He's got it all queued up and everything ready for you, Will.
It's always good to be feeling good on a Wednesday, the third best Wednesday of the week, but most certainly the realest Wednesday of the week. And gentlemen, I want to continue a conversation that we had yesterday because President Joe Biden was in town, stopping into Milwaukee for the 1 year anniversary of the Inflation Reduction Act, which is today. Yesterday was the 364 day anniversary. Today, the 1 year anniversary. And I want to ask you, the people of Wisconsin, what are your feelings on his visit or the 1 year anniversary of the Inflation Reduction Act? Has this impacted your life on a day-to-day basis? Have you seen any tangible changes? What are your thoughts? Give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789.
Yeah, and you're listening to Town Call across Civic Media. Again, if you've got thoughts to share on President Joe Biden's visit yesterday to Wisconsin, we want to hear them. 844-967-2789. But Will, it was an interesting event to see. We had a number of speakers talking at the rally that was taking place near American Family Field, Green Wind Energy manufacturer, where the venue was, touting the climate investments that the Inflation Reduction Act focuses on, the largest investment in the nation's history when it comes to addressing climate. If you've got thoughts, we want to hear them. 844-967-2789. Again, as Will pointed out, the anniversary of the Inflation Reduction Act. So that is the subject of the day. We're going to weave in some more Wisconsin headlines as well. But I think it's important, a couple things to point out of what all got done, Will, in the IRA. So more than 200 projects over the last year have broken ground. And I think the emphasis that the IRA had on climate is huge. I think the emphasis on just American manufacturing is also huge, Will, because it comes down to this isn't just a plan that was boosting economies in blue states or just red states. There are many, many districts throughout the entire United States that are seeing on the ground results, like shovels in dirt, breaking of ground on these climate projects that will change the manufacturing industry here in the United States. And that's huge. It's not just a purple state thing either. They're like, there are districts all around the country, congressional districts all around the country that are getting invested.
The LA Times noted, as you said, more than 200 major clean energy projects have been launched, with $86 billion in private investments announced since the law was signed. Most of them are manufacturing operations in the electric vehicle, battery, and solar industries, according to an analysis by E2, a nonpartisan business group. The South and the Midwest. So it is across the entire United States, but the South and the Midwest in particular are leading the nation in the number of new projects, including a cluster of solar manufacturing facilities, electric vehicle plants, battery gigafactories. An area stretching from Michigan to Georgia has now been dubbed the Battery Belt, according to the LA Times. And Republican-held congressional districts are reaping the greatest benefits, accounting for 18 of the top 20 districts for clean energy investments, according to the report. Ironic, of course, because the law passed without a single Republican vote.
Yeah, and so this is an administration that is looking to, when the rubber meets the road, putting the political qualms to the side and investing in the United States and investing for all Americans, not just his supporters. Like, of the 211 projects that have started, according to Politico, Will, 123 started in Republican congressional districts. So, like, we are seeing investments in this industry from all over the country. And as you pointed out, like, there's a map that goes, like, Michigan is looking really good. I wish there were a couple more Wisconsin ones on this map, because there is a lot of investment happening in that battery belt. And for the president to come and highlight some of those achievements over the last 365 days, 64 days, as you note, yesterday, is pretty significant. We want to hear your thoughts. 844-967-2789. You're listening to Town Call across Civic Media. Will, what did you think of the president's speech and emphasis here in Wisconsin to celebrate the 1 year anniversary?
Well, Luke, I have to be brutally honest with you, because I'm a brutally honest individual, sometimes to a fault. I am not a huge fan of the, you know, rah, 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 go us type pep rallies. I understand why they occur. I understand that they're going to occur, particularly when you come to a state that's going to be an important battleground in the 2024 cycle. So I tend to maybe tune it out a little bit more than I should, and I'll come back after the fact and listen to what was said. But I do want to note, because you kind of asked me my thoughts on the IRA coming back to the beginning, something that we touched on extensively yesterday, and I'm not alone in this thought.
Extensively? I don't know about extensively. We touched on it momentarily yesterday.
When we had the ability. But something that we talked about yesterday then, I'll cut the extensively from the sentence, was it's not enough. And the LA Times opinion piece that I have been noting agrees, noting the Inflation Reduction Act, while it's the biggest investment in climate action in U.S. history, pales in comparison to the scale of action needed to keep global warming from reaching disastrous levels. Even if every clean energy incentive program in the law is taken full advantage of, the U.S. will not be able to cut carbon pollution in half by 2030 or deliver on the commitments under the International Paris Climate Agreement. I noted yesterday, touching from, I believe it was a piece from Deloitte, that the expected, let me try to get it back up, the expected inaction on climate change could cost the U.S. economy $14.5 trillion, with a T, dollars by 2070, according to the Turning Point, a New Economic Climate in the United States, a report completed by Deloitte. The Deloitte Economic Institute Turning Point report makes the case for another industrial revolution in the United States, but it must be built on low emissions growth to avoid significant losses from the climate crisis and to create a more dynamic, prosperous economy for the United States. It's fiscally irresponsible to not do everything we can right now and invest heavily in climate change mitigation, because if we don't, the cost to not just the U.S. economy, but the world economy down the line will be catastrophic.
And so we want to hear your thoughts. 844-967-2789. We got Ken from Fond du Lac calling in. Ken, what are your thoughts on the president's visit to Wisconsin yesterday?
Oh, it was all fine. Yeah, all these batteries and all. How do we plan on charging them? Our power grid right now would almost have to double.
Yeah, I think being able to increase the output to these batteries is a huge question of how that's going to occur. But that is something we're seeing investing through solar farms, through wind farms, through a number of investments, Ken, into battery power. And I saw a recent article here in Madison referencing a potential breakthrough for being able to exponentially increase battery capabilities here in University of Wisconsin research. And so there are breakthroughs coming every day, just like how do we get anywhere with technology? The fact that we've got these supercomputers now powered in our pockets at any given time would be something that we couldn't have fathomed 10, 20 years ago. And so there's going to be changes to all of this technology, but you believe that finding out how to charge the batteries is going to be the biggest hurdle?
We can't even keep the lights on. California can't keep the lights on. Can't keep the lights on. The AC. How would you possibly expect to charge these cars and batteries when we can't even keep up with the demand of power usage right now? I mean, it's
one of
idiotic.
One of the largest oil producing states in the entire country can't keep its power grid through the winter because it hasn't modernized it in Texas.
Yeah, that's. Every other state in the nation is the same factor. Wisconsin, I mean, during heat demand, the power grid is almost at 90-95%. How in the world is expected to charge anything when 90% of the power grid is being used? I don't understand how anybody with any kind of logic can't understand how are you possibly going to charge all these electric cars and batteries when the power grid can't even keep up to the demand right now. I mean, I don't understand it. Yeah,
the power grid can't keep up right now, Ken. Doesn't it seem like we should be looking for alternatives? Are you not looking for a better solution then?
So why are we building all these batteries that are going to sit in the warehouse that can't be used anyhow? Or charging stations? He wants to put billions and billions of charging stations that the power grid can't even charge. What logic does that make? Shouldn't the power grid be upgraded before we put all these charging stations and batteries that there's no possible way the power grid's going to be able to charge all this stuff?
Well, Ken, I can tell you that the White House was powered in the 70s by solar panels, and then that got removed in the 80s through a specific administration. We could have seen monumental investments in it back in 2000, but we had a Supreme Court intervene into a presidency there, and Al Gore was never elected. I think that the back and forth that we have when it comes to addressing this problem, it's been kicked down the can. The can has been kicked down the road for many, many, many years now, if not decades
at this point.
And so I don't think the solution is throwing up our hands in the air and saying, well, there's nothing we can do about it. I think being able to see the investment through legislation like the Inflation Reduction Act that will incentivize bringing modern and green manufacturing back to the United States to address things like the power grid and charging capabilities is really the only opportunity, the only option, really, because sitting around and letting the climate situation be ignored to the point where we now have the most horrific wildfire in modern American history occurring in Hawaii. We see here in Wisconsin the drought conditions, the driest year on record. And so I don't think the answer is saying, well, how are we going to charge these things? It's investing and solving the problems. But we appreciate your phone call, Ken. You can be like Ken, 844-967-2789, here on Town Call, discussing President Joe Biden's visit to Wisconsin yesterday and the one-year anniversary of the Inflation Reduction Act. You can share your thoughts, 844-967-2789. We're going to be right back.
Broadcasting from the Civic Media Studio.
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
And we're live here outside the Perez family home, just waiting for the... And there they go! Almost on time this morning. Mom is coming out the front door strong with a double-arm kid carry. Looks like Dad has the bags. Daughter is bringing up the rear. Oh, but the diaper bag wasn't closed. Diapers and toys are everywhere. Ooh, but Mom has just nailed the perfect car seat buckle for the toddler. And now the eldest daughter, who looks to be about 9 or 10, has secured herself in the booster seat. Dad zips the bag closed, and they're off. Ah, but looks like Mom doesn't realize her coffee cup is still on the roof of the car. And there it goes. Oh, that's a shame. That mug was a fam favorite.
Don't sweat the small stuff. Just nail the big stuff, like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Learn more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
If you came across someone struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? By their clothes, their age, the way they speak? Would you notice an 8-year-old girl who's not excited for summer break?
Because she may not be having lunch again until September.
Or a single father of two who works three part-time jobs and still can't put enough food on the table. Or maybe a mother who cleans offices at night,
hoping to find meeting leftovers to take home to her hungry family.
Or a war veteran who's having a hard time
landing a job and getting back on his feet.
I am the 1 in 8 Americans who struggle with hunger. People you pass by every day but never knew were hungry. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America, 200 Food Banks Strong, and the Ad Council.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You told me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you've made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Mainly clear skies this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 84. Southwesterly winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies tonight, scattered thunderstorms likely, lows dip down to about 61. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times again. Tomorrow, chance for scattered showers, daytime highs approaching 74. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 77.
Freedoms.
Join the Rational Revolution with host Chris Alfheim and Emily Cephos Thursday evenings from 7 to 8 on WGBW, WISS, and the Civic Media app.
Welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. We are talking President Joe Biden's visit to Milwaukee yesterday and the one-year anniversary of the IRA, the Inflation Reduction Act. And Luke, I wanted to add a couple extra thoughts I had based on what you were just discussing before the break. And in regards to the power grid at the national level, some of the states that were mentioned by the previous caller, that are struggling to generate enough power currently without all of these batteries. I want to note the irony of that situation in the sense that a lot of the power grid failures that we've had over the past couple of years are being directly attributed to climate change and some of the climate disasters that we have faced over the past 2, 3, 4, 10 years that are continuing to get worse and worse every year, particularly in California, despite more than a decade of bold posturing and efforts to transition to solar, wind, and hydropower. The state worries it doesn't have enough renewable energy sources because devastating wildfires have cut off transmission lines, extreme heat events and droughts have hampered hydropower supplies. Officials have noted, according to Reuters, that traditional electricity demand forecasting does not account for such extreme events prompted by changing climate. You then, of course, noted the most famous example, in my opinion, which is Texas, and how their private electrical grid failed multiple times over the past couple years. In 1999, Texas became the only state in the country to privatize its entire electrical grid, the nation's most extensive experiment in electrical deregulation, handing control of the state's entire electricity delivery system to a market-based patchwork of private generators rather than being on the federal grid. And as we noted, wind speeds fallen to extremely low levels, with many wind turbines producing a power freeze and power generation unable to meet record demands, caused a complete failure from the state's grid operator, the Electric Reliability Council of Texas, ERCOT, and forced them to order power cuts to millions of customers to maintain grid stability. This happened in 2021. People died, Luke.
Yeah, several
people in Texas.
Like, dozens of people. Like there were people freezing to death because of
froze to death in Texas because of the failure to winterize power sources like wind turbines and natural gas infrastructure, causing the private grid to fail.
Want to hear your thoughts here on Town Call, 844-967-2789. You can call or text all hour long. You can do it right from the Civic Media app as well. You're listening to Town Call across the Civic Media radio network. If you download our app, you can engage with the show right from the app. Call or text on the Civic Media app here on Town Call. Let's head back over to the phone lines. We've got Tom in McFarland calling in. Tom, what are your thoughts about President Biden's visit to Wisconsin yesterday and the one-year anniversary of the Inflation Reduction Act?
Build on the previous caller and his disparagement of innovation and technology within power generation, I'd like to point out that as recently as like the 30s, power grid didn't really exist. It was all localized. Take a look at rural America and the old classic windmill that'd be on the farm. Well, we changed. We put government funding into those resources, and we established a national power grid. You take a look at any innovation within the private sector, you will find that government funding was always at the forefront of that innovation as it got ready for market forces. The exception would be green technology. This is the first time in our nation's history that we have an active group within the government that's refusing to allow government traditional role in innovation and technology. This is the first time that we've ever had a party have a platform saying, no, we don't want innovation. It's not a matter of our abilities. It's a matter of our political will. We get Republicans out of the way, and yeah, you can bet that our national grid is going to be able to withstand any sort of stressors on it. Thank you very much for the call.
Not a problem, Tom. We appreciate your call. You could be like Tom, 844-967-2789. Share your thoughts with us here on Town Call. And
Luke, I thought that was an excellent point by Tom, in the sense that something that we talk about at the ground level for organizing all the time is politics, and particularly budgets, right? Money is about priorities. What do you prioritize? You invest in those issues and it will come to fruition. In this situation, and going back to the 30s, as Tom noted, we invested in the power grid and we were able to create a national power grid. If we were to do the same with renewable energy sources, put a serious financial investment into these energy sources, we can get this done.
There you go. Your thoughts, if you want to share them, 844-967-2789. You're listening to Town Call across Civic Media. One of the interesting points that we wanted to make yesterday as well, Will, that we didn't get a quite chance to do so, is the fact that the name was the Inflation Reduction Act. But it seems like, at least according to a handful of economists, the Inflation Reduction Act wasn't necessarily what is the driving factor of why inflation has gone down over the last year, because it is down year over year. Now here we are experiencing a rate of inflation right around 3%. It was about 9% this time last year. But most of the time is the case, correlation and causation not always the same, Will. But your thoughts on the Inflation Reduction Act in its name and it being titled that, and now that we're 1 year out from the passing of the IRA through Congress and the signing of it by the Biden administration.
Well, Luke, I will note it's not just economists who are saying that. Joe Biden himself said that, quote, "I wish I hadn't called it that because it has less to do with reducing inflation than it has to do with providing alternatives that generate economic growth." Biden said this, I believe, last Thursday at a fundraiser in Utah, adding he still believes that with the law, quote, "we're literally reducing the cost of people being able to meet their basic needs," unquote. But a number of economists have, as you noted, pointed out as well. Harvard University economist Jason Furman said, according to the AP, "I can't think of any mechanism by which it would have brought down inflation to date," of course, referring to the IRA. And Alex Arnon, an economic and budget analyst for the University of Pennsylvania's Penn Wharton budget model, offered a similar assessment, saying, quote, "we can say with pretty strong confidence that it was mostly other factors that have brought inflation down. The IRA has just not been a significant factor." But this shouldn't be a surprise, as the when the Inflation Reduction Act was originally proposed, the Congressional Budget Office said its impact on inflation would be, quote, "negligible."
Yeah, so the Inflation Reduction Act, named that, though, I think it's important to put the context out there. There wasn't, I don't believe it was the Biden administration's desire to label it that in the first place. That was kind of a marketing branding decision out of the U.S. Senate, because there's one particular U.S. senator that seemed to be only wanting to address inflation, and that would be West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin. So a different Joe responsible for naming in that. What are your thoughts now, though? Do you think this will be a continued problem going forward? Say inflation does subside. Do you have any thoughts on how it being titled the Inflation Reduction Act will influence the way that it is digested by the American people in the years to come?
Well, Luke, so much of politics is messaging and, frankly, manipulation. The government does a wonderful job every time they propose bill. What's it called when you is it an acronym? When you have, you know, something titled out IRA, but maybe it spells a specific word in this situation, and then you have it define whatever you want it to really mean. Just because it's called something doesn't necessarily mean that's the longtime goal. My best example is the Patriot Act, right? Arguably the greatest intrusion of civil liberties in American history, but you give it a nice little title like, "we're the Patriot Act, we're doing a..."
You voted against the Patriot Act?
Yeah, right, yeah. You're so un-American for voting against the Patriot Act. Well, no. just because you called it the Patriot Act does not in any way, shape, or form mean that it's patriotic. So, you know, names, what's the Shakespeare quote? A rose by any other name can be just as sweet. We'll take the reverse side of this.
I think you flipped it already in that.
Did I flip it?
Yeah. But I'm not going to claim to be any Shakespeare expert here. But I believe the
rose... A rose by any other name would smell as sweet.
Oh. I thought it... Okay.
Question my William Shakespeare knowledge. Us Williams need to stick together.
It's been a minute since Romeo and Juliet, all right, man? That's, ninth grade? I can't tell you the last time I reviewed...
We watched the Leonardo DiCaprio version in middle school, I believe.
Was it? See, I thought it was ninth grade, but maybe it was eighth grade.
Perhaps around that time frame.
But yeah, the fact that it was titled the Inflation Reduction Act, it is very strange to, as the different speakers were waiting to introduce the president of the United States in Milwaukee yesterday, referring to the other aspects rather than just, you know, curbing inflation, talking about Medicare and Medicaid being able to negotiate drug prices, the clean energy investments in the IRA, all of those different things outside of inflation itself, where it was an interesting lens. And I think it's going to be something to keep an eye on continuing.
Prescription drug pills too, Luke. There was a lot of factors that I do think were important.
Negotiating drug prices. That's what I said that one, Will.
Oh, did you? My apologies.
Folks, I want to hear your thoughts.
I was zoomed in on my Shakespeare. I had Shakespeare.
Gotcha.
On my...
You're just thinking about Juliet. All right. 844-967-2789. You want to share your thoughts on the president's visit to Wisconsin yesterday. We want to hear them. You can call or text here on Town Call. But the just historic investment, I think, is important to point out. The one-year anniversary and just the fact that the president was here 1 week before the Republican National Committee's first presidential debate next week, Will, I think is something that needs to be noted as well. It feels like he was trying to maybe steal a little thunder here in Wisconsin before all of the RNC candidates come to town next week. Do you believe that was a point there, or do you think he just is trying to highlight Wisconsin's importance when it comes to 2024's elections?
Oh, I mean, certainly. It's all of the above, I think, would be the clearly obvious answer. Yes, you know that the GOP will be coming to Wisconsin next week to essentially kick off the 2024 cycle. So why not take the opportunity to swoop in a week before them, have your pep rally in Milwaukee, talk about some of the important stuff that you've been doing, which, again, if there's one thing you take from me, I want it to be that while the investment in climate change was historic, it was not enough. It was not nearly enough. It was, in a lot of ways, a half measure, I think, meant to kind of placate a lot of individuals who had been demanding some kind of government-focused effort on climate change mitigation, particularly young voters, right? We know that this is an issue that's really, really important to young people, and we're very well aware that young people saved this election in both 2020 and 2022. As when young people come out and vote, we know what the results generally tend to be. Young people want to have a habitable climate, not just for themselves, but for their children, their grandchildren. And this was a campaign promise, I think, that really needed to come to fruition.
Well, that will be an interesting aspect as well, is how the branding of the Inflation Reduction Act is then targeted towards those audiences that are going to be up for grabs again in 2024. It will be interesting to see here in Wisconsin and around the country, again, how these projects that are breaking ground, shovels are moving dirt already in more than 200 projects associated with the Inflation Reduction Act, and how that is going to affect things here in 2024 is going to be something to continue to watch. We're going to jump to some Wisconsin headlines as well outside of President Joe Biden's visit to Wisconsin yesterday. If you want to share your thoughts, you still can. 844-967-2789. You're listening to Town Call across Civic Media. But there's plenty going on here in the state of Wisconsin, so you don't want to change that dial at all. Stay tuned to your local civic media station, Town Call. It's going to continue the conversation when we return.
You've heard the word a lot.
It's that time of year again. The fall sports season is about to kick off, and you'll want the best seat in the house so you can get in on all the action. But when it's time to go, you know, to use the facility, you want the best seat there too. That's why you should call Crockett Septic. Crockett Septic can provide porta potty rentals for a competitive price and provide reliable service to ensure your porta potty seat will always be a good one too. Wait a second. What if you stay home to watch the game? You better make sure your throne is ready to go, especially if you have friends coming over. Many area counties right now are sending out reminder cards that it's time to get your septic pumped. So call Crockett Septic and they'll take care of that right away, so you'll have the best seat in the house.
Crockett Septic, be there in a jiff. Crockett Septic, no more nasty whiff. Crockett Septic, they won't make you cry. Their bumper trucks smell just like cherry pie.
The simple click of a seatbelt can mean the difference between life and death. But don't just take it from me.
As a nurse for the last 34 years, I've seen way too many people seriously hurt in crashes because they weren't wearing a seatbelt. Please protect yourself. Spare your family and emergency responders from needless trauma. Buckle up. Every seat, every trip, every time.
A life-saving message sponsored by the U.S. and Wisconsin DOTs.
You have one new notification from Cleary Building Corp. This is to remind you, if you're thinking about building a home, storage facility, or commercial building, make sure your building has a Cleary Shamrock on it. At this time, we urge you to visit clearybuilding.com immediately to speak with a sales specialist to get you the building of your dreams.
I couldn't have said it better myself. Get the best warranty in the business at clearybuilding.com today.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Mainly sunny skies and calm this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 84. Southwesterly winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Scattered thunderstorms likely tonight. Lows dip down to about 61. Partly cloudy skies. Chance for scattered rain showers tomorrow. Highs around 74. Partly cloudy. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 78.
Serving central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
But today, 1 year anniversary of the Inflation Reduction Act. And Luke, one aspect that I didn't quite get to note on before that I want to point out before we move on to some fun Wisconsin headlines that you managed to dig up. When we talk about economists saying X, Y, and Z, or economists pointing out that potentially, you know, the IRA had no impact on inflation or anything, economics is not a hard science in the same way that a physics or a chemistry is a science. And I'm not here to say that it's not a science. What I mean is it's more a social science, in that it revolves around, you know, the relationships between individuals and society, how individual decisions impact society. There's not an agreed upon baseline like the periodic table of elements that chemists have, right, where they're starting from the same place and working out. You can get a wide variety of answers from economists that look at the world through a similar lens, coming to different conclusions because it's a way of thinking rather than necessarily being a provable scientific model. So I think that we should not take everything said by economists as gospel. It's not necessarily inherently true. It's a lot of times what is done and said is an educated guess, and that's the social science behind it.
So you're just saying it's all vibes, Will. It's just all vibes. No, nothing hard there. Just how the economists vibe.
I don't want to say yeah, but like, yeah, in a lot of ways it is vibes, dude.
One of my roommates studied, he is an economist, and that's the exact phrase he used yesterday when talking about economics, is he's like, you know, it's all vibes, man.
It's vibes. It's an educated guess from people who have put the time and effort into, you know, study the history of it, but yeah.
Right, they're educated vibes, but vibes nonetheless.
Great point, Aaron.
Well, speaking of vibes, that, you know, you just get, maybe you get a feeling. So you go and you say something's illegal, and you start to make a big deal. Make a mountain out of a molehill, as another saying goes. We've got an update on a story that we've been tracking here at Town Call, discussing the changes for the state court system here in Wisconsin. Now that the makeup of the state's highest court, the Wisconsin Supreme Court, has changed. So Just over 2 weeks ago now, the makeup changed from a 4-3 conservative majority to a 4-3 liberal majority on the state's highest court. And the day before, the swearing-in of Justice Janet Protasiewicz, who is the altering seat there for that makeup, changing the 4-3 conservative majority to a 4-3 liberal majority, the justices informed the administrator for the state court system that he was no longer, his services would no longer be required, Will. And this was a complaint taken to right-wing talk radio here in Wisconsin, saying that this, not putting words in anybody's mouth, like referencing it as a coup, saying this was illegal action, that this is, you can't do it this way, it doesn't work. There was a lot of coverage of the grievances, for lack of a better term, that the conservative members of the state's highest court were airing out in the court of public opinion. And now we find out there's a very interesting quote from that outgoing head of the court system here in Wisconsin, reading from a piece, Will, over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. The headline, "Ousted State Courts Director Files Complaints Against Four Liberal Supreme Court Justices." So files complaints, not a lawsuit. Complaints. Reading from the
distinction.
Piece written up by Tyler Katzenberger over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. 2 weeks after being stripped of his duties, the former director of Wisconsin's state court system filed complaints on Tuesday against the four liberal state Supreme Court justices who fired him and his replacement. Randy Koshnick, who had held the position since 2017, when he was appointed by the outgoing conservative majority, filed five complaints with the Wisconsin Judicial Commission against, and names all of the justices, and the Milwaukee County Circuit Court Judge Audrey Skorzowski, I believe is how it's pronounced, but I could be butchering that, I apologize, who was appointed to fill Koshnick's role on an interim basis. But then jumping down into the piece, this comes pretty far down, Will.
This is a great quote, by the way, Luke.
Yes.
This is hilarious.
So, I gotta find it, because this is how far down it is in the piece.
I got it for you, but let me know if you want to take it yourself. You did the homework, so I want to defer to you here.
"I'm not trying to get my job back. They had the legal authority to fire me. They didn't do it the right way. But I'm not getting my job back," Koshnick said. "I'm really concerned about the court system and the Constitution being followed." They had the legal authority to fire me. Interesting that that is now the quote that is coming out 2 weeks after. But at the time, Will, the week that this happened, I believe the Chief Justice, conservative Chief Justice Annette Ziegler, amounted this to be a coup.
I believe she used the word coup.
Yes, her word. Now, I'm not putting words in anybody's mouth. She was on Dan O'Donnell's show and referenced that the change in administrative rules was nothing short of a coup. And so now we're finding out that the former administrator for the state court system is saying, no, they had the legal ability to. I didn't like the way they did it. I didn't like the phone call, which is a grievance that he could air. But equating it, saying that there's no lawsuit here alleging criminal wrongdoing or breaking of constitution. They're filing complaints. And this is where this comes to. It was all covered as if this was a huge scandal. And the outgoing head of the court system, they had the legal authority to fire me.
The second part of that quote too, Luke, "I'm really concerned about the court system and the Constitution being followed." Well, you just told us at the beginning of your statement that they had the legal authority to fire you. So would that not mean that the Constitution was in fact being followed? Just because they didn't do it the right way, in your opinion, which to me sounds like feelings, right? You got your feelings hurt.
Sounds like vibes.
Or it's a vibe, that's for sure. crying over spilt milk, I believe, was the way that it was excellently phrased by Ruth Conniff last week. But yeah, I mean, this is essentially that. I'm mad that I didn't get the results I wanted, and I feel bad about it.
Folks, you've been listening to Town Call. We appreciate all of our excellent callers on this Wednesday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow, 12:15.
Office hours tomorrow.
Office hours with Professor Shelton. We look forward to talking to y'all then. Take it easy.
Have a good one, party people.
In Wisconsin.
Childhood should be the happiest time of life. But for many children living in poverty with blindness, facial deformities, and other crippling conditions, it's riddled with pain, rejection, shame, and isolation. At Mercy Ships, we're answering the cries of some of the world's most forgotten children and adults through free, life-changing surgeries, surgeries that turn despair into hope. These once heartbroken boys and girls, and many men and women too, are now restored, accepted, and on their way to a life of opportunity and joy. No one can change the world on their own, but together we can transform it by restoring hope to one person, one child at a time. Volunteers from your community and around the globe are bringing life-changing healing and hope to the forgotten poor. To learn how you too can help change the world, one child at a time, go to mercyships.org today.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5.